Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with S. Sam Coman, Head of Commodities, ESG and Emerging Markets Research, EMEA. It's Friday, 22nd March, 2024, and in this week's podcast with Ahsan, we discuss CERAWeek. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Hi, Ahsan. Great to speak to you again. How are you?
Well, thanks, Nazneen. And you?
I'm great, thanks. So, Ahsan, this week marked the all-important CERAWeek conference held in Houston, which for the uninitiated, the event is arguably one of the most important annual gatherings in the energy calendar. Can you offer our listeners the key takeaways?
Thanks, Nazneen. So yes, as you say, for the uninitiated, CERAWeek is arguably the most important event of its kind. And whilst other gatherings may draw more delegates and some exhibitions may fill more space, it is CERAWeek that reliably attracts the decision makers of almost every large energy company. Now, thematically speaking, this year's gathering discussed the quote, multidimensional energy transition. But for all the talk of renewables, hydrogen and nuclear power, it's the big beasts of the oil and gas world that are set to dominate the agenda. Indeed, big oil comes into the conference buoyed by several factors, that is a reliable, strong and stable crude oil price supporting near record earnings. It has easing pressure from ESG activism and no immediate sign of peak oil demand, despite speculation during the pandemic that it may have been imminent. And as Nina, such bullishness has fueled a wave of M&A. In fact, one of the largest recent deals at Chevron's $53 billion acquisition of Hess Corp took place at CERAWeek last year when the heads of both companies rekindled the idea of a merger. Now, that's evidence for us, if it were needed, that what happens behind the scenes in Houston this week matters just as much as what gets said on stage. So what we have in terms of takeaways? Well, first, we have heard from Saudi Aramco's CEO, who said on the opening day that the global push to overhaul energy systems to slow climate change is visibly failing. Thereafter, ExxonMobil's CEO declared that we're not on the path to meet net zero in 2050, with one of the challenges being that while society wants to see emissions reduced, nobody wants to pay for it. Importantly for us, he said ExxonMobil will not move forward with one of the world's largest low-carbon hydrogen projects if the US administration withholds tax incentives for natural gas-fed facilities. Meanwhile, we had Shell's CEO, fresh on downgrading the long-term emissions targets recently, saying that oil and gas will play a stabilizing role in the world's energy system while the transition takes hold. And finally, US Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, a regular fixture at CERAWeek, also offered the sector a reason for optimism, telling participants the US administration's pause on issuing liquefied natural gas export licenses is, in fact, temporary and a potential disappointment for the environmental movement. So all in all, Nazneen, commonalities and messages this week at the conference have been centered on what can be an energy transition paradox. That is, the current pace of renewable energy infrastructure is too slow for the goals of the Paris Agreement to be met. And if those goals are not to be achieved, then current investment in fossil fuel infrastructure is too low to make up the shortfall. So what we are being left with is at the heart of the energy transition lies a paradox of underinvestment.
Building on the messages of the energy transition paradox you just highlighted, what are the implications of such a conundrum?
So let me put this into perspective, Nazneen. The $3.8 trillion spent on renewable energy globally in the last 10 years has reduced fossil fuels' share of primary energy by just only 3 percentage points, from 80% to 77%, which for us demonstrates the sheer domination of fossil fuels in the energy mix. And so whilst the future direction of pathway, of course, towards a cleaner economy is clear, the green revolution is simply too nascent today for green capex alone to drive global growth. And so we view that the old carbon economy still needs that investment until the green transition is complete. Otherwise, the global economy continues to hit capacity constraints on growth. And the implications of such underinvested commodity markets? Well, given the structural nature of capacity constraints of today, we are of the view that we are in the early stages of an energy and indeed broader commodity super cycle this decade, which we define as a CapEx cycle in which the physical constraints on growth are creating physical pricing pressures. In other words, demand is beginning to catch up to the physical capacity constraints, which is creating better returns in the physical economy than the financial economy. And that motivates the redirection of capital back into the physical economy. Just as indeed, there's in the last two super cycles of the 1970s, as well as in the 2000s. Both periods, of course, corresponded to the two largest global CapEx cycles of the last 70 years. And so in today's shortages of supply world, we are dealing with structural challenges that predate both the war in Ukraine and indeed COVID, namely the forces of decarbonization, the forces of deglobalization, the redistributive policies focused on the social needs, which is driving a structural rise in demand, and the underinvestment in the old economy, carbon-intensive CapEx, owing to the rise of ESG and climate change, which is for us exposing the system to volatile price spikes to the upside, which is precisely as in the case in the 1970s and 2000s period.
Thank you for your insights, Ehsan. Speak to you again next time.
Thanks, Nazneena. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets research team.